Parakas Mishnah Zion. Mi shenafla alav mapolas. If a wall fell upon a person, safik hu sham, safik eno sham, and there's a safik, there's a doubt if the person is there under the wall, or it's possible that he ran away and he's not under the wall. Safik chai, safik meis. Even if you tell me that maybe he's under the wall, there's a safik, there's a doubt maybe he died, or maybe he's still alive. And even if he did die, right? I'm sorry, even if he is still alive, okay? Safik nachri, safik Yisrael. There's a safik, there's a doubt, maybe he's a Jew, or maybe he's a guy. So the halacha is, mefachin alav es hagal. In this case, you have the permission to remove the stones from the pile of stones that fell upon this person, even if it's Shabbos or Yom Kippur, because we go to the, you know, as far as we can go to save a person's life, no matter how many sfigas, no matter how many doubts there are. Maybe he's not under the wall. Even if he's under the wall, maybe he died already. Even if he's alive, maybe he's not Jewish, and we don't have a heter to save a guy on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. So the halacha follows that despite the fact they have all these doubts, we nevertheless will remove the stones on Yom Kippur or on Shabbos. Even though removing the stones, you're digging, and digging is a prohibition on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. You can do it anyway, because it's a matter of saving a life of a Jew. And no matter how many doubts there are, we desecrate Shabbos and even Yom Kippur to save the life of a Jew. Mitzu'u chai. What about another case? If you find him, he's alive. Yeah? Afa pishas bar. Even though you find out, though, shal yuchal od l'chayos el shamueta. So you find that he's alive. You know he's under the pile of stones, he's alive. But you know that all he has is, you know, a couple of minutes to live. So maybe I'll say, okay, let's just leave him. Don't take away the stones. It's Shabbos, it's Yom Kippur, we shouldn't be doing a malacha. No, mefakhan alav. You remove all the stones in order that you should get him out from that pile. Even if he'll live for half a second, you do what you have to do in order to give him life. V'imeis. And if you found him that he is dead, let's say he's dead. Yani chuhu. If he's totally dead, then you leave him the way he is. Don't continue to remove the stones on Shabbos on Yom Kippur. Because if he's dead, then he's dead, and he's not going to go anywhere, and it doesn't give you a heter, doesn't give you a window of permission to start removing stones and do things that are prohibited on Shabbos, if you know he's dead already, and nothing's going to happen. And explain over here, they have a whole pirish, so we'll go through it quickly. Even though we said that you can save a dead person, if the person's already dead, from a burning fire, a dead person is trapped in a house and the house is on fire, you could save him. So there, the reason why you could save him is because the Chachamim were concerned that if you just leave the mace there, you know, you can start putting out the fire because you're concerned, you know, about the person gets, you know, overwhelmed about the dead person and he may come to extinguish the fire. So we say, okay, fine, you can remove the mace from a burning house. But over here, there's no fire, nothing's going to burn the body. So you just leave the body where it is, and then after Shabbos Yom Kippur, you remove it and give it the honor that's due to it. The Gemara also explains that, for example, if when you're looking so what happens if when you're looking for the person under the wall to see if he's alive or if he's dead? So and you checked from his head, right? The first thing you saw was his head, meaning you reached to his nose and you're ready up to his nose to see he's dead. So then you don't have to check anymore. And you could leave him where he is after Shabbos, remove the stones, and after Yom Kippur, remove the stones. But if you're checking him from bottom upwards, from his feet, right, till his belly button, till his heart, and he appears to be dead, we don't rely on that. We always go all the way up to the nose. Because the pasuk says, "Kol asher nishmas ruach chayim ba'apav," that the nishmas ruach chayim, the spirit of life, is in the nose. So we're always going to go as far up to the nose to make sure that he's alive or to see if he's alive. So if you find him in the pile of stones right by his head, you can see he's dead, then you just leave him. You remove him after Shabbos. But if you only find him by his feet, and then by his belly button, and then by his heart, even if it's not beating, you go all the way up to the head to confirm that he's really dead, that you can't remove him on Shabbos. And they also explain that what happens if there's many, many people under this pile of stones. So even if the upper people that you find are dead, doesn't mean that you don't start looking for the lower people. You still are permitted to remove the stones on Shabbos until you get to the lower people to confirm whether they're alive or whether they're dead. So this wraps up Mishnah Zion. It goes over the various halachas of how far we go to save a person on Shabbos, and when we just leave the person where he is and then take care of the body after Shabbos. Moving right along to Mishnah Ches. Chatas, a carbon chatas that a person would bring on an aveira that he does by mistake, b'shogeg. V'asham vadai, or a asham is also a sin offering that a person brings on a vadai, on a definite sin. For example, an asham gazelos, meaning he denied that he owed money to somebody, and he swore, and then you found out that he lied, and then he admitted that, you know, he lied. Or an asham me'ila, if a person had benefit from things in the Beis HaMikdash, they shouldn't be having any benefit from. He brings a carbon called an asham me'ila. So these two types of karbanos, the chatas and the asham, mechaprin, they atone for the sins that the person performed. Shekain b'habas karbanos ilun, you bring these karbanos, a person has charat, he regrets his sins, and then he confesses over the karban what his sins are, and he accepts upon himself not to do it again, right? There's three things. There's charata, vidoy, and azivas achet. Regret, admitting the sin, and accepting upon yourself not to do it again. The kivan, and since sheyesh vidoy, there's confession and there's tshuva, along with the karbanos, he gets a kapara, he's atoned for his sins, the limits out of different psukim in the Torah. However, if it's an asham taloi, a sin offering for a taloi, meaning it's for a sin, an avera, that he's not sure whether he did the sin or not. There's a doubt over here. Al safik chet, ba'avera shechayevim. So regarding sins that, if a person did it on purpose, he would be chayev kares, cut off from the Jewish people. And by mistake, he'd be chayev achatas, to bring a sin offering. So kagon, shehoyse, for example, there's in front of him a piece of shuman, right, of kosher fat, and a piece of chalev, treif meat that he can't eat. And he eats from one of them. But it's a tully, there's a doubt over here. He doesn't know which one it was that he ate from. So in this scenario, he has to bring what's called an asham tully, a sin offering for a doubt of a sin. And afa bishigambo nemra, even though it says in the pasuk over there that you get a kapara for it, nevertheless, it doesn't give you a total kapara, a total atonement, because once you're notified of the sin afterwards, right, you should really be bringing a carbon chatas to atone for yourself. You're only bringing an asham taloi, this like iffy carbon, because you're not sure if you did the sin or not. But once you find out that you did the sin, technically, hayitzarach lavi carbon chatas afterwards, you should really be bringing a carbon chatas to atone for the sin that you did. And therefore, it's only a partial atonement, not a full atonement. So granted, this kind of carbon, this asham taloi, this being brought for a doubtful sin, doesn't give a full atonement because you don't know whether you did the sin or not. But once you do find out that you did the sin, afterwards you'd bring a carbon chatas and then you'd have your atonement. But until then, you'll have like a almost atonement for your sin. That's what they're telling us over here. Moving right along, Misa v'Yom HaKippurim, Misa death and Yom Kippur. So either death or Yom Kippur, Mechaprin im HaTshuva, atones for a person's sins together with tshuva. Meaning if a person did teshuva, he repented, and he had regret on his sins before he died, so the actual death will complete the atonement process. And similarly, if a person does teshuva along with Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur will complete the teshuva process. Teshuva, what about a repentance alone? Mechaperes alaveros kalos. So teshuva alone will atone for light sins. For example, al asay, for a positive commandment, a mitzvah asay, that a person nullified, va'alos asay, and a negative commandment that a person nullified. And here they explain it, it's really a lav anitik lasay. It's a negative commandment that follows a positive commandment. Because a real negative commandment, a los asay, a full los asay, you get malchus, you get flogged. And that's going to fall under the category of more stringent sins. So here, when we say an alos asay, on a negative commandment, we're really referring to a negative commandment that immediately follows a positive commandment. For example, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that you shouldn't leave over your certain kinds of karbanos overnight. If you did, so that's the law, you shouldn't do it. If you did it, then afterwards there's a positive commandment to burn it, right? So that's an example where you have a negative commandment attached to a positive commandment. Those are more light. But a real negative commandment, this alone, is going to be more stringent. That's what we'll see over here. So again, so teshuvah will atone alone for light sins, for example, an asay, or a los asay, a negative commandment which is really attached to a positive commandment, like an example we just gave. But va'alachamuros, the sins that are more chamer, that are more stringent, he tola, the tshuva is tola umagina, it's like hangs in the air and shields the person from a punishment from Shemayim, ach yavo yom kippurim v'chaper, until Yom Kippur comes and does a complete kapara, a complete atonement for the person. So an example of a stringent sin would be an actual lav. You know, he eats a bug. He's not supposed to be eating bugs. It's a lav in the Torah. That's more stringent. So on those, in the stringent sins, the tshuva is like hanging in the air and protects him from punishment from heaven. And so Yom Kippur comes along and completes the atonement process. I'll just wrap it up with the explanation here. It's a little bit long, but we'll keep it simple. They bring down over here that the conclusion of the Gemara comes out like this. If a person did a mazid, a purposeful sin, did a purposeful sin regarding a positive commandment, or a negative commandment attached to a positive commandment, or a accidental shogeg by a full los, let's say a full negative commandment. So for example, eating bugs, we said, right? So again, if he does a purposeful sin by nullifying a positive assay, or by nullifying a negative commandment attached to an assay, or if he does an accidental sin in a real plain los assay, and then he goes out and does tshuva, so then in azaz misham ashimachol lo, he doesn't move until they forgive him. Meaning the tshuva alone will atone for him. And this is learned out of a pasuk, shuvavanim shovavim erpa mushivoseichem. Okay, fine. But so hare, behold, we see that there's a sin, so that the tshuva alone will atone for him without having to get into, you know, Yom Kippur or death or anything else. What about if he did a purposeful lo sase sin? He did a mazid on purpose, a pure negative commandment that has malchus, like eating bugs. So the tshuva is just hanging in the air, and the Yom Kippur is what gives him the full atonement, and there's also learned out of a pasuk. So now you see from over here, Hare Sheyesh Avera, there's a sin that needs Yom Kippur to complete the atonement. What about Asav Shogeg and Averi did it by mistake, a sin that had he done it on purpose, he's Chayiv Kares, or had he done it on purpose, he's Chayiv Misa from Beis Din. Okay, but now he goes out and does this sin by mistake. The Korban Chatas will atone for him together with Tshuva, like we explained earlier. If he did the sin on purpose, then Tshuva and Yom Kippur would just be Tola, would like be hanging in the air, and Yisurim, pain that he has in this world, would be what would complete the atonement process. So now you have a sin, an Avera, that needs Yisurim, needs pain in this world to complete the atonement process. Umistabran, he says over here that light sins would come with light punishment in this world, heavy sins would come with heavy punishment in this world. So if a person gets sick, or he gets hit by a car, or any kind of pain that he has, that'll help atone for his sins. But a person who did a chil Hashem, he desecrated God's name, that's very, very severe. Ain koach lo b'tshuva, no repentance is going to complete the process for him, and not even Yom Kippur. Only, and v'lo yisurim, and not even pain in this world. All these things that he has, repentance, Yom Kippur, and pain, they all just hang in the air. And the actual death of a person will complete the atonement process if what he did was desecrate God's name in vain. Chil Hashem. It's very, very severe. So it comes out that we see from here, Sheyesh Aver, now you have a sin, that there's no kapara, there's no atonement, unless he has mamish death. And that's going to be the example of Chil Hashem, of desecrating God's name in vain. However, Bizman Shehaya HaSa'ir, they bring down over here that at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when they had the goat, that they would send off of the Mount Azazel to atone for Klai Yisrael's sins, right? This goat would atone for the Klai Yisrael sins, both on the kalos and the chamuros, the light and the stringent ones, except for the sins that are between man and his fellow, because those are not going to be atoned for until you go to your fellow and you ask him for forgiveness, right? If you sin between man and your fellow, you have to actually ask him to forgive you to get atonement. But otherwise, what they're saying over here is that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when they had this seir, this goat, they threw off the cliff, it did help the tshuva process regarding the light sins and the heavy sins to atone for their sins. And that wraps up Mishneh Ches. Sunday, God willing, we will complete the Masechta with the last and final Mishnah Tes, and that's it for today.